your garden grow? How does your garden grow? And we talked about this idea that God is responsible for our spiritual growth, but we are responsible for the environment in which God grows us. And we talked about the parable of the sower, and we talked about a number of things out of that, which we're going to draw from again this evening as we develop these themes around discipleship. And this evening, I'm going to, again, revisit part of a message that I gave a couple of years ago, which is going to be all about dependency and our dependency on God. And we're going to unpack a whole bunch of that along the way. Is that okay? It's great. Lovely. Well, let me ask you a question then. As I tend to do. How do you feel, or what happens to you, when you think you've lost your phone? Okay? Slash, if that's not relevant to you, anything that is significant to you. Okay? What do you think, what happens to you when you think you've lost your phone, slash, anything that might be significant to you? Chat to the person next to you, I'll come back in a couple of minutes. Okay, let's bring it back together. So about two summers ago, well, what, not about two summers ago, it was exactly two summers ago. I don't know what I meant by that. Two summers ago, our family went to West Pembrokeshire, which is one of our very favorite places on planet Earth to go to. It's almost exclusively where we go as a family. And this time we were going with Helena's side of the family. And it was a trip that involved more people than could stay in the house that we normally stay in when we go. And so being the good people that we are, we offered to camp in a local campsite and to allow the other people to stay in the house. Aren't we good? But we do love camping, so that was good too. It was the height of summer, so in West Pembrokeshire in the summer, there could be no possible reason why camping wouldn't be a good idea. We found the right place. It was called West Hook Farm. I highly recommend it. Well, yeah, I highly recommend it. It's a beautiful spot. We found it on a trip. We went up for a preliminary recce to see what kind of campsites we were going to look for. And we found this place, which just so happened to be on the top of a cliff. Looking out to sea, it was a beautiful spot. It was perfect. It was picturesque. It was everything that you could want, really, for a campsite. The day we arrived at this campsite was a beautiful day. Okay, so imagine West. Anyone been to the Southwest Pembrokeshire? Wow, loads of you, brilliant! I might see you there one day. It was a beautiful day. The sun was shining. I could see the sea. The sky was blue. Everything was good with the world. We set up our tent and had dinner to the most amazing sunset. I mean, literally incredible. It could not have been more beautiful, I'm telling you. And being the good Christian parents that we are, literally, we were talking to our kids about God painting the colors in the sky. That's how good it was. Literally, he was with the brush. Our kids were talking about it. It was an amazing moment. But during dinner, this conversation that I'd had with our tent neighbor was replaying in my head. And when we arrived in setting up our tent, he seemed to be surprised that we were just arriving. And he unpacked this idea that actually the weather was not going to get so good, and that when we woke up in the morning, we might find the field a little bit more empty than it was when we first arrived. The weather did indeed come the next day, and it came with great force on the top of our cliff in southwest Pembrokeshire. We woke up the next day, and I could not see the sea anymore. It was very wet and very, very windy on the top of our cliff. And just as our friend next to us had predicted, the field was very empty now because most people had chosen to leave. We did not have that option. That night was one of the craziest nights. Well, it was the craziest night I've ever experienced in a tent, but one of the craziest nights ever. The storm literally came, and we were huddled in our tent, and the wind and the rain battered us all night. Absolutely fierce storm. We are huddled in the tent. Rafi, bless her, she's my youngest daughter, so she would have been like 3 at the time. She's genuinely pretty scared because it's in tent is really noisy. She's really quite scared, and we're just trying to like, you know, Helen and I have got our like air steward faces on. Nothing to worry about. No panicking faces. We're not worried at all, apart from on the inside. Jessica is listening to her story that she falls asleep to, but it's on like max volume and she can barely hear it. It's just a crazy, crazy scene. And the night was just like that. Just the whole night. Just got absolutely battered. I remember we came back one day because the storm continued for a couple of days. And we'd bought this little extension thing for our tent, which we thought was a really good idea because it would give us more room to keep our stuff dry. And it literally wasn't on the tent anymore. It was hanging by a string, just like fluttering in the wind. Well, not fluttering, like crazy in the wind. All our stuff was completely drenched. It was a crazy, 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 crazy time. And at that moment, our decision to camp on the top of a cliff in southwest Pembrokeshire was not a very good plan, but we didn't know that. But the thing is, in that moment, in the middle of the storm, we had to depend on our little bit of material that was covering us to keep us dry and safe. We had to depend on that thing. And that little extension that we had bought, we were depending on that little extension just to keep all our cooking stuff dry, to keep our shoes dry, to keep, you know, and it literally just almost flew away. We depended on that stuff. And you know, our tent, whilst it doesn't look quite the same as it used to, did a really good job at keeping us safe and keeping us dry. You know, the title of my talk this evening is Developing Dependency. Really simple, developing dependency. And I guess, instead of telling you that story, I could have just gone around the room and asked you to answer the question that I asked right at the beginning. How do you feel when you feel like you've lost your phone or something significant to you? And that would give us some measurabilities, some measurables of how we feel when something that we hold on to, something that we're dependent on, is no longer there. That would give us some good measurability. So tonight we're talking about developing dependency. If you've got your Bible, which I hope you have, if you haven't, there's a whole bunch at the back. You can go and grab one as I'm talking now. Open your Bibles, please, to Romans chapter 4, and we're going to read from verse 13. Romans chapter 4, we're talking about developing dependency. Romans chapter 4, from verse 13, says this. I believe it's on the screens. Is that right, Clive? You got it. Brilliant. Thank you. Let's read together. It was not through the law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be the heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. For if those who depend, hear that word, on the law are heirs, faith means nothing and the promise is worthless because the law brings wrath. And where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, the promise comes by faith so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who have favor of have the faith of Abraham. He is the father of all. Let's pause there for a moment. We're going to come back to that in a second. Let's talk about that word dependency for a moment. Now, dependency is an interesting word, and the reason we feel things around this word dependency is because often we operate within a system that creates expectations of dependency. So we can depend on something because something has told us that we can, or we are supposed to be able to depend on that thing. So in theory, when the bus is supposed to arrive at 8:02, depending on your experience, you may or may not be able to depend on that thing being true. Because hopefully you can, because the system we are in makes us believe and helps us to believe that we can depend on that thing being true. The chairs you're sat on this evening, which are very good chairs, by the way, you can depend on that chair. Because you may have sat there before, because your experience of chairs in life is generally pretty good. They generally bear your weight. And so you can actually have an expectation that you can depend on the chair that you're sat on. Alternatively, I cannot always depend that I will get 8 hours sleep every night. Because my experience tells me that that's no longer true in the same way that it might used to be. I have young children. 8 hours sleep is not always what I get anymore. I cannot depend on those 8 hours every single night. The word dependent comes from a Latin word, and it means in the Latin to cause to hang down or to suspend. And where you see that root of the word pend, so suspend, all the words that have that root word, it involves something that hangs down. So suspend would be one. Depend is another one. Pendant is another one. Or pendulum is another one, something that hangs. So to depend on something or someone is literally to hang on it or them, or to rely on it or them. As in, to depend on something means that it can bear weight. We recently got Jessica, for her birthday, a pull-up bar, which she loves. She hangs on it and does pull-ups. She's strong. But she can hang on it. It literally can bear her weight because she hangs on it. That's a literal example of what it means to depend. She can hang on it and it can bear her weight. That's literally what it means. So let's take some potential examples here of what dependency might look like in our lives. So the question I have for you is, so what do you allow to support the weight of your life? Because that's what dependency means. It's the things that you allow to support the weight of your life, what you hang on. And I want to propose to you, I guess, this evening, that many of us get ourselves into situational and relational difficulties because we hang the weight of our lives on things that were never designed to bear our weight. As in, we depend fully on things that we were never supposed to bear our weight. We hang on things that were never designed to bear the weight of our lives. So, for some people that might be money. For some people that might be career. For some people it might be your house. It might be your stuff. It might be people or a particular person. It might be a sense of security that you have in your life. But you can only depend, like you can only go with these things as far as they are able to take you. So we live in this realm of it's just all the things that are possible. Because there's an extent to which those things can actually bear our weight. So let's just look at some examples. So maybe you're someone in the room this evening who is actually really disappointed by God. You're someone who's had a really tricky experience with God. You feel like he's let you down a lot and you actually can't really depend on him anymore because he didn't come through when you thought he should have done. And your experiences are actually the same of people around you too. So You feel like disappointed with God and people have let you down. If that's true of you, you're probably someone who is going to be dependent on you. So you've learned, actually, you can really only depend on yourself because everything around you has sort of let you down a bit. That could be one example. If it's career, if you allow the weight of your life to be supported by your career, what happens when you lose your job or you get bored of the job or whatever? What happens to your life? Or money, same example. What happens if you hang the weight of your life on money and suddenly you run out? Or suddenly you just have more than enough and it's just your life is hanging on this thing. What happens when it doesn't go the way you thought it was going to go? Dependency on these things can only take you so far. When our primary sources of dependency extend beyond the realms of God and faith, our lives become really limited, and we're setting our environments for growth up really in a bad place. We talked about that last week. There is a limit to how far your own dependency can take you. And as I read the Bible, we're going to come back to this in a minute. As I read the Bible, what I see is a very significant and strong link between dependency, faith, and grace. Dependency, faith, and grace. And as we go forward in our time together now, hopefully everything is just going to boil down to this thing here, okay? So listen to this, and then if you want to switch off, go for it. But hopefully it's all going to boil down to this. That when we transfer the full weight of our lives into faith, which means to believe God for who he says he is and who he says we are, that's what believing in God, that's what faith's all about, we allow the impossible realities of his grace to play out in our life. When we transfer the full weight of our lives onto God and to faith, we allow the impossible realities of grace to begin to play out in our lives. That's what I believe. So turning back towards Romans for a second. Romans 4, verse 13 says, it was not through the law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise. You remember that story about Abraham? God promised him a crazy promise. An impossible promise. That as an ageless, childless man, his descendants would be as numerous as the stars in the sky, and all peoples would be blessed through him. I mean, it's a literally impossible promise. And Romans tells us that it was not through the law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise, as in, it's not through what you can do. It's not about what you can do that allows you to receive the promise of God's grace in your life. It's not connected to what you can do. Because the law was all about what you could do. And Paul writes in Romans that it was not about the law. They didn't receive the promise through the law. It wasn't about that. It wasn't about what he could do. It was a sovereign act of God's grace in his life that allowed him to enter the impossible realm. A sovereign act of grace. It was grace. It was grace. The Amplified Bible translates it like this. Verse 16, therefore, inheriting the promise depends on faith in order that it may be given as an act of grace. Therefore, inheriting the promise depends entirely on faith. It literally hangs on. Abraham put the full weight of his life into believing what God had said would be true. Genesis 15, where this story happens, literally says, and Abraham believed God. Boom. How different would your life look like if you believed God? Like believed him. And I know many of us in here would profess belief in God. But Genesis 15 says that once Abraham had received God's word, he said, Abraham believed God. Woo. And Abraham believed God. How different would your life look like if you just believed God for who he says he is and who he says you are? How different would your life be? Inheriting the promise depends entirely on faith. It hangs on faith. And so here we begin to see the relationship between dependency, what you hang your life on, between faith and between grace. Because it was as Abraham depended on faith, depended on his belief in what God had promised, that the sovereign act of grace in his life could be received fully. So the link between dependency, faith, and grace starts to play out in here. When our dependency is found in faith, in our lives, I truly believe that we open ourselves up to this impossible realm of grace that has nothing to do with what you can do. Abraham could not do what God said was going to happen. Literally, it was absolutely impossible. Physically impossible. It was not happening. Abraham could do nothing. He tried to do something about it, and it didn't quite work out. And some of us have got to stop working so hard. Because it's not about what you can do. It's about your ability to receive what God has given for you. So, we're going to move in our Bibles to Matthew 14. Are you ready? Are you ready? Come on now. Let's go. Matthew 14. Am I kind of making any sense? Does it? Yeah, okay. It's okay if I don't. Sometimes I ask, and it's okay to say no, because I can try and say things a different way. If you're struggling with that, come find me at the end as well, and I can try and help out. Matthew 14. So there's this amazing and beautiful moment between Peter and Jesus. And it's in the middle of a storm, which resonates with me because of my time in the tent in southwest Pembrokeshire. It's beautiful for a couple of reasons. Number one, an amazing act of dependency. But secondly, it's beautiful because of something that Jesus said that actually we often read it kind of wrong. So we're going to get into it. Let's read together. You'll know this pretty well, I would imagine. From verse 22. So Jesus just fed the 5,000, by the way, which is an amazing story as well, if you want to read that. And then it says immediately, verse 22, Jesus made the disciples get out into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus said immediately to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," Jesus said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And then they climbed into the boat and the wind died down. It's a story that many of you will know, I'm sure. Let's start with Peter's outrageous act of dependency, shall we? It's an amazing act of dependency, this. Don't you think? It's incredible. And this one thing struck me this week as I was thinking about this talk, and I'd never quite seen it in this way or through this lens before, but it struck me that for one glorious and, I guess, almost perfect moment, Peter literally allowed the weight of his life to be borne by the impossible. Literally. As in, the weight of his life was supported by an impossible liquid that we know as water, right? He was dependent. The water literally held his weight. I wondered if Peter, when I was reading it this week, I was wondering whether Peter was still kind of filled with his adrenaline from the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 when he decided to get out onto the water, and whether it was just from that moment that he was like, yeah, okay, full of faith. But whatever was going on, he was definitely not short of faith in that particular moment. Or, I decided, maybe he didn't actually believe it was Jesus in the first place, and he never thought Jesus would actually tell him to come out, and he was just like, yeah, all right. I don't know. Either way, he was not short of faith. But this moment was a moment. And as we know, it didn't last that long, did it? Because it wasn't long before Peter saw the wind and the waves and the storm in front of him. And it's funny, isn't it? Because he's done the hard bit. He's got out of the boat. He's got out of the safety of the boat, but that's almost always the problem, isn't it? And this is why it's so tricky for us too, because in the confines of the boat, we can kind of deal with the storm because the boat helps a lot. I mean, it really does help. It's still not very nice, but it really does help. But outside of the confines of the safety of the boat that he knew so well, he suddenly finds himself more exposed, which is often how we find ourselves, isn't it? When we find ourselves in the more impossible realms of faith and trying to struggle and work out what's going on, outside of the safety that we already know, sometimes we just feel more exposed, and suddenly he was more exposed, literally more exposed to the elements. And sometimes I think we find that in our faith, that when we get out of the boat or whatever that represents for us, when we start to step out in our faith in a different way, we become more exposed to the elements and we just suddenly need the safety of the boat again. That's what it feels like sometimes. We can really relate to Peter in this moment. And as we know, he begins to sink, and Jesus pulls him up immediately, by the way, which is kind of cool, but not often what we experience, I feel, sometimes. We don't always necessarily feel like Jesus immediately pulls us up. Sometimes we feel like we're under the water for a bit too long, which is confusing. But then Jesus says this really cool thing, which I want to just finish with. He caught him by the hand and he said, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" Which seems hard, doesn't it? I think we often read that. It feels hard of Jesus to say that. It feels harsh. Like the poor guy. He's full of faith. He's excited about the feeding thing. He's doing great. He's got out onto the water. He's out of the safety. And suddenly he's exposed to the elements and the storm comes. He's like, oh my goodness, this is actually quite scary. And he starts to sink. And Jesus is like, ugh. You of little faith. Why did you doubt? I feel like Peter deserved more credit than that. But luckily, Jesus actually gave it to him because our translation is pretty rubbish. Luckily, Jesus actually did give him more credit than we read here. Because what Jesus actually means when he says, you have little faith, is you have underdeveloped faith. Hey, Peter, you have underdeveloped faith. It's not quite the rebuke that we read it as. You have underdeveloped faith, which is why I called this message Developing Dependency, because this moment speaks into our faith. It speaks into the ups and downs of life, the struggles of faith. Sometimes we feel like we're going for it. We're walking on the water. We're out on the boat. It's all good. Sometimes we feel like we're standing in the water and the elements are coming against us. Sometimes we feel like we're just stuck in the safety of the boat and we just want to stay there because it's much safer and we'd rather not get out into the storm with Jesus, even though Jesus is there. This moment speaks into that. And yet, somehow, some way, Peter just found that dependency in that moment to grab onto Jesus and say, yeah, I'm coming out. And literally, he hung the weight of his life on something impossible. For that moment. You have underdeveloped faith. It's a beautiful phrase, that. It's like, that's all of us in the room. That's every single one of us. me of underdeveloped faith, Jesus says. Because we're just all learning. We're all on the journey to develop faith. That's what it's all about. And I guess I just want to hang more fully the weight of my life on faith. Because I know if I do that, entering those impossible realms becomes more possible. So what we're going to do in a sec is we're going to pray together. And we're going to use this story to frame our ministry time and our praying. Because I think there's some really good things in here that will allow us to respond. So let me leave you with that question I asked again right near the beginning. What do you allow to support the weight of your life? What do you hang the weight of your life on? And how might you grow in your dependency on God this year? Should we stand together? I'm sorry, that was a little longer than usual. I had a lot I needed to get in. I hope that's okay. What we're going to do is, okay,